You guys remember when Jesus fed 5,000 people, they just counted the men, they counted the 5,000 men. They didn't count the kids or the women, they didn't count them. And then we looked at, in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came, it says there was 120 people. And so when the Holy Spirit came, everybody counted. And so, you know, we're a Holy Spirit people. We're a people that the Holy Spirit lives in us, and everybody counts. It doesn't matter age. It doesn't matter skin color. Everybody counts, and we want to be that people. And when we look at our nation and there's all this disunity, we should approach it with humility. We should have hard discussions. We should approach it in love. But we should have an expectation that the solution is really God. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to use natural solutions, but we want to be always looking for God to change that for us. And today I want to talk to you guys about the kingdom and a kingdom mindset. Not to scare anybody, but there's a lot of notes here, so we'll see how far we get today. Stick with me. I think I'm going to be mostly in John chapter 9. I'll quote some other verses, but they'll be pretty common ones, and you guys will know them. And I want to just make this point today, that when you received Jesus, you were transferred out of the kingdom of the world into the kingdom of God. Now, you still exist in the world, and those kingdoms exist around you, but you are subject to the kingdom of God. So in Colossians 1:13, it says, "For he, Jesus, has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us." We move from one kingdom to the other. I'm sorry. "For he, God, rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son." And I want to look at, it's been odd in this season, because there's passages in the Bible that you avoid preaching on because they're weird. We've been in those a lot. I think I even read some like end times prophecy to tell you how quickly God can change the scene, things I don't normally talk about. And today I want to talk about the parable of the yeast a little bit. It's in Matthew 13, and I'm just going to read verse 33. This is all we're going to look at in there today. But it's just a weird comment that Jesus makes to his disciples. And I got to be honest with you, I kind of avoided it. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to apply it. But today, hey, sorry, I just saw somebody. Everyone's looking for who to say. If you turn around and there was no one there, I was waving at you. So Jesus is talking about the parable of the yeast in Matthew 13:33. And he says to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she only put in a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough." And we want to look at, my nose just went to the bottom. Tech. We want to look at this today in a new light. You guys know what yeast is. You know what yeast does. Some of you really love your yeast products, and more power to you. I can appreciate that as well. But yeast, you know, it's a thing that you can't just put yeast in one section of something. When you put yeast in bread, it goes into all the bread. When you put yeast in, you're making beer, you can't just be like, "I only want to make beer with the top inch." The yeast goes into the whole thing. And so a definition of yeast is an agent that causes batter or dough to rise, especially by fermentation. Excuse me. And then a second definition in the dictionary is an element, influence, or agent that works to lighten, enliven, or modify a whole. To add a rising agent to cause to rise, especially by fermentation, to pervade with a lightening, enlivening, or modifying influence. And it's like, it's just like this. It's really interesting. Jesus is talking about how yeast, when the yeast of something goes into it, it permeates the whole. And so we're called to be yeast of the kingdom in the world. There's supposed to be little bits of the kingdom coming out of us in all the areas that we go to, and that's supposed to bring about subtle, enlivening change, just like the dictionary definition of yeast, to the world. And so, you know, the kingdom of God is very, very upside down. You know, if you're in the kingdom of God, it's upside down. We need to spend time renewing our mind to the way the kingdom thought works, because the kingdom is upside down. It says in the Bible, if you want to save your life, you have to lose it. If you want to be fast, you first, not fast. If you want to be fast, work out. If you want to be first, you have to be last. You know, a lot of people approach churches and they're like, "Hey, They don't recognize my gift. They don't recognize my anointing. But it's like, if you want to be great, you have to be the servant of everyone else. Mm-hmm. Approach the body, approach the world of how can I serve you? If you want to receive the kingdom, you have to become like a child. You know, the upside down backward kingdom. If you want to increase, give a portion of your money away. Mm-hmm. If you want to live at peace, the Bible says to love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. These are opposite mindsets of the world. And we need to renew our minds so we can walk in them. And I want to give you guys a good example. So Kathy and I lived in Australia. And you know, in Australia, they drive on the wrong side of the road or the other side of the road. And so I can't tell you how many times, you know, we're there for a whole year. We bought a car. And we would go to get in the car, and I would be holding the keys, and I would be standing on the passenger side of the car, and she'd be standing on the driver's side, and I'd just toss them across, and we'd laugh at it or whatever. And then, you know, the one time, we were like, it was like real late at night, and you guys know I'm a bit of a foodie, and if I think I want to eat something, I go get it. And so, you know, we hop in the car in the middle of the night, we go out of our driveway, we go up to the main road, and we're driving on the left side of the road the whole time. But when I made that right turn, I turned into the right lane.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going 65 miles an hour on the wrong side of the road. People are coming at me. Which way do you think I move the wheel?
Oh, geez. To the right.
To the right. So that was a whole unique experience. We were fine. I replaced a radiator and a bunch of fans, and the car had a big dent in the bumper, but we didn't care because, you know, it was fine. But so there's an adjustment. When there's a change, there's an adjustment. And you know, now the vehicle I drive for work, it's opposite drive. Every once in a while, I catch myself just driving down the middle of the road because my body's supposed to be next to the yellow line. You know, so just keep that in mind. You know, there's just, when you come into the kingdom, there's adjustment. And so one of the other things Jesus said, and this is the reason we talk so much about yeast. In Mark 8:15. This is the verse that I really didn't know what to do with, but I think I know what to do with it now, so hear me out. Mark 8:15, be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. And so what are these things? You know, we want to be a kingdom yeast. We want to be permeating the world, enlivening it, and subtly changing it. But be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees. The yeast of the Pharisees is a religious mindset. It's rooted in pride and arrogance. And I'll give you guys an example out of John chapter 9. I'm going to say a couple things real quick. It's a religious mindset. Now, I grew up in the church. A lot of you guys grew up in the church. And people will say, oh, that's religious. And what they're referring to is following a tradition. But there's actually a religious mindset that is unteachable, rooted in pride or arrogance, and actually causes division, and that's how we know it's not God. It's where someone will say, this is exact, what I know is exactly right, what you know is just a little different, you don't agree with me, so now I'm no longer going to treat you in love. I'm no longer going to treat you like a brother or sister in Christ because you view this slightly different than me because I'm right and you're wrong. And this religious mindset brings division. And so in John chapter 9, I'm going to read a bunch of verses here. It's pretty pertinent. If you guys want to turn there. Might have to go back to paper if I have all this technical trouble. So this is a really important passage of scripture to me, and it'll become apparent in a second. So in chapter 9, verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And as you know, for me, that's really pertinent because a lot of times when I look at my son and the disability that he has, it's really, really tempting to say, what did I do to cause God to do this to me or do this to my son? And what Jesus answers, and I think we get into these situations where stuff's happening in our life. And yes, sometimes you sin and it opens up the door to a consequence. But a lot of times things are happening to you because you are still living in the kingdom of the world, even though you're part of the kingdom of God. And the reason that it's happening is what Jesus answered. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed to him. So he's basically saying that the reason this is happening is so the power of God can be revealed in this life. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day and night is coming. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So basically what Jesus is saying, and we should apply this now in this situation that we're in. A lot of people would say, God, why is this happening to the earth? Is it because of Nancy Pelosi? Is it because of abortion? Is no one recording, right? Okay. Is it because of the Democratic Party? Is it because of corrupt police officers? Is it because, North Korea did something? Why is this happening on the earth? Why are you allowing this, God? And the answer really is because his power is going to be demonstrated through it. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't cause it. He didn't bring it. Whether you think it was designed in the laboratory or it came off bats or, you know, China's mad at us because we tried to make them pay extra taxes to import stuff, whatever you think, the reason this is going on is because we're going to see the power of God manifest through it.
Yeah.
And so what happens is, you know, Jesus, he spits mud, makes clay, heals the blind man's eyes. And then here's where we get into the mindset of being a Pharisee. Okay, so the Pharisees are freaking out that this happened. They're not happy that it happened. Jesus heals the man in the name of the same God that the Pharisees are very committed to living for and serving and getting the people to know and this stuff. And so they get the healed man. And they bring him before him. And you'll see what this Pharisaical yeast looks like. They brought him who was formerly blind to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes, I washed, and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. So we're going to agree on a point. Or disagree on a point, and we're going to say this man is out. It doesn't matter that he just healed somebody. It doesn't matter that he's preaching a kingdom of God, that he's trying to he's serving the same God that we say. He's using the same scriptures that we use. We're going to just out him because he broke that one point. And then the other said, some people were rational. They said, how can a man who is a sinner do this? Who do such signs? And there was division among them. Remember, a mindset, a religious mindset comes to divide. And then they said to the blind man, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him. So what they do in their religious mindset is they call his parents. And they say, hey, this guy wasn't blind. Tell us he wasn't blind. And his parents were like, hey, you ask him, we won't stay out of this. So I'm skipping ahead. And then, so they called the blind man again, and they said, give God the glory. They said to the blind man, the man who was blind from birth, that just received his sight, they challenged him and said, give God glory. We know this man is a sinner. So they want him who just received sight, who just encountered Jesus, to say, because of the way that their religious mindset works, he's a sinner, and then it'll be okay. And he answered, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. Pretty smart blind guy. One thing I know is I was blind and I see. And they said to him, what did he do to you? Tell us again, how did he open your eyes? And he answered, I told you already and you did not listen. So then he gets a little, I kind of think he was like 13 by his reaction here. And the fact that they called his parents, maybe he was like 13. And the fact that his parents had to say he is of age, like because 12 is adult in Hebrew culture. So just picture a 13-year-old kid with a little mohawk or whatever. I told you already, you didn't listen to me. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples? And at that point, they are lividly angry. It says they reviled him and said, you are his disciple. He opened his eyes. Of course he wants to be his disciple. But we follow Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. For this fellow, we don't know where he's from. So they're admitting they don't know. And the man answered and said to them, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears them. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone has opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man was not from God, he could do nothing. to teenage kids telling the Pharisees what's up. And they answered and said to him, you were completely born into sin. Why are you teaching us? And it says they cast him out. That's not inviting him to leave. That's throwing him out. And so, you know, this is in this time and in this season, you know, this is something that permeates. It's not about, you know, do we celebrate the Advent calendar? It's about, do we allow division over issues that shouldn't be issues? Mm-hmm. You know, and again, we should, you know, our truth is not fluid. Our truth is the Bible. So when something comes, we hold it up to Scripture. Mm-hmm. Did Jesus do it? Does it fit in with what it says in the Bible? It's not fluid. And then we say, okay, yeah, so this is God moving in a way that we didn't understand. But instead of being divided on such straight lines, we should be unified on the places that we overlap.
Amen.
You know, and trust the Lord to work it out with other people. So this is the yeast of the Pharisees, a religious mindset, allows us to treat other believers like they aren't brothers and sisters. I no longer have to treat you like family because I have facts. I am right and you are wrong. So I'm no longer required to treat you with love. And when we put it like that, when we spell it out like that, it becomes very obvious. You know, this is what people fall into. Love is rooted in relationship. Jesus said there is no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. In church families, in our church, believe it or not, we're going to get into situations where we don't fully agree with each other. Keith's like, no way. No matter what I say, Keith's like, yeah, go ahead, man. Do it. If we approach those situations without love, it's a religious mindset that Jesus warned us about. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. The second thing that Jesus warned against in that verse was the yeast of Herod. And the yeast of Herod is also to divide. And it's a political mindset. Now, I believe we should be involved. We should be voting. We should want godly people in government. And we should write our congressmen. I've sent like 16 letters to my senators and congressmen in the last week, all different stuff, you know, and you get replies and they know your opinion, and that's awesome. But right now in this season, politics is driven by fear, by shame, and by manipulation. A political mindset wants to divide. It's not interested in unity. We live in a nation that's been divided through fear, shame, and manipulation. The way that someone gets elected is to divide and separate and motivate by fear. A political mindset will say, you are in group A with me and you agree with me 100%, or you're in group B. And if you don't tell me what group you're in, I will assign you one. This is what a political mindset does, not me. Okay. I will assign you one. And if you're in group A with me and you disagree with me on one point, guess where I'm putting you?
Group B.
Group B. We are no longer anything like each other because you're in group B. Mm-hmm. And so in this last season, you know, it's like a political mindset wants to divide. Agree completely with me or I will push you away. A political spirit is fear-driven. We can't be people of fear right now. And I want to challenge you guys with this. We aren't part of Herod's kingdom. We aren't part of the Pharisees' kingdom. We're part of God's kingdom. You guys know our political parties have platforms. Mm-hmm. Those platforms are systems of this world. They are not systems of the kingdom. Neither one agrees 100% with what God would do. So we want to see a new platform, a platform of the kingdom arise. But this is my challenge for you. If we're going to make a difference in our nation, if we're going to be the church that God called us to be, if you're going to be the person that God made you to be, we need to be kingdom people. Have a kingdom mindset, guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and against the yeast of Herod. And so this is the thing, when we talk about group A or group B, as a kingdom person, I can grieve with people that are grieving. I can stand as a kingdom person to address any issue of unrighteousness or injustice in my nation. And simultaneously, as a kingdom person, I can give honor to someone that deserves honor. So what I'm saying is, as a kingdom person, you can look at the situation that's happening in our world right now, And you can say that Black Lives Matter and that I should honor police officers at the same time. Yeah. We should give honor to people that honor is due. People that do a hard job that I don't want to do. You know? And so it's really funny because we see as people stand with those different camps, then suddenly it's like, well, you believe everything that camp believes in. No, I don't. I believe in justice and righteousness. The Bible says that justice is one of the legs of God's throne. And I also believe I should give honor where honor is due. You know, so how can we approach this stuff? How can we move it? And I want to read you guys a couple more verses. You don't have to look these up. Most of these will be pretty common and you'll know them. Micah 6:8, he hath shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly, but to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. And really, when you look at the yeast of Herod, the mindset that's political, the yeast of the Pharisees, the mindset that's religious, neither one is humble. Mm-hmm. But a kingdom mindset is humble. You know, and then it says, God resists the proud. You know, if we as a church want to be part of what God is doing in the nation, in our town, amongst the community around here, we need to walk humbly. Sorry, stepping out of this for a second. This community is encroaching on our space in a good way. Came in this morning, there was a couple riding their new bike around, testing it out in the parking lot. It's like they're not staying away from us at all. They, this parking lot's here, they're going to use it. So we're going to start to bribe them in the building with like freeze pops. Not the old people, but the young kids. You know, it's like we're right here. So anyway, we walk humbly because God resists the proud. You know, as we close, I want to challenge you in this season not to allow fear to motivate you at all. Not to allow the fear of being deceived motivate you at all. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7, you guys know this one. For God has not given us a spirit of
fear,
but of power and of love and a sound mind. You guys know you have a sound mind. You have the ability to pick up a piece of chicken, eat the meat, and lay the bones back down. You know, I had this dog called the Wookiee. The Wookiee got a chicken breast one time. The Wookiee ate all the bones. Not a good scene for the Wookiee. But you know, as a person, it's like I can take something in, process it with my sound mind, take a fact or two away from it, know what's going on in the world, and spit out the garbage. Because it's not nourishing to me. It's actually going to mess me up if I take it in. You know, in this season, not allowing fear to be our motivation or our fear of being deceived motivate us. And I have some verses for that. In Psalm 33:10, if you're struggling with this, you might want to write these down. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. Because the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. So God's plan, there may be some people with a plan. There may be some people with a plan, but their plan will be exposed because God's plan is the one that will go through. Psalm 46:10. We all know the first part of this. It says, be still and know that I am God. Everybody's familiar with that? The next part of that verse says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. You know, so it's God's plan is the one that's going to carry through. So, you know, that's what I wanted to share with you today. I'm going to pray for you guys. If specifically this has been kind of a challenge for you, I want to encourage you just take some time, unplug from the media, unplug from the voices that are just spreading fear. It's super interesting. We got this great email from Levi's school about how they were going to school next year and the things that they were going to do and how it had to happen. And they had this great plan in place. And we were super encouraged. My wife, who, you know, she's been home with kids. It's still July and she's been home with kids for like 6 months. And she, I'm not counting right, but you guys get the point. She was like so happy that she texted me that they were going back to school. And, you know, we get this email. And on the way home, I have the news on. And they're already interviewing moms and spreading fear.
Yeah.
To counter what came out that day from the schools.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, we can safely do your kids And if we find we can't, we'll do some online stuff too. We got space, we'll do this. And so this is what happens. It's like there's not allowed to be a good report in this season. And so you need to use the Word of God as your standard for truth. Truth is not fluid, remember. So unplug from all that. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want to do in my life in this season? When we went into this season, you know, the first thing we talked about was Isaac sowed in a time of famine and he reaped a hundredfold in a famine. And it's like whatever's happening in the world around us isn't going to change God's outcome for us. And look what happened with us.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
It's for you.
Sorry.
It's okay. That's a very pleasant. Leave it playing. I'll pray. And it'll
yeah, that's good. That's like the ending song on the radio that I'm listening to.
All right. So, Father, I just pray that you would teach us how to be still and to trust you and to find your peace. And if there's anything in us that's of the yeast of this world, Lord, that you would begin to expose it, that your kingdom's yeast would permeate us, and that we would begin to enliven and begin to subtly change the culture around us. And we thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be a community that doesn't stay inside four walls, but begins to reach out and change the situation of the people around us. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity before us. And we just pray for each person that's here that as they go out, they would be blessed with your peace and your love. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Drink some coffee. Hang out.